Today's podcast episode is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application.
What's going on? It's CVV, Chris Van Vliet. And right now you're listening to Conrad Cushman and Everything Pro Wrestling.
Folks, welcome to Everything Pro Wrestling. Everything Pro Wrestling is a show by the fans, for the fans. And I am your host, Conrad Cushman. And with me today, I have a special guest. I worked very, very hard to get this guest. So I think you need to hit the like button right now for me. I have the one and only, the internet sensation, Mr. Warren Hayes. Warren, how are you?
I'm great, Conrad. Thank you so much for having me on. But I'm going to debunk something right off the bat, okay? Just so that it doesn't suddenly seem like I'm this unattainable guest, you know? Conrad and I, for the better part, I think, of a year, we've been live scheduling, all sorts of stuff getting in the way. I've been trying to have him on my show, and it just worked out that I can be on his tonight, and it's been a long time. It's not like I've been ducking him or dodging him or anything. It's just like, we've been trying to make this happen, and the coin flip just happened to be Conrad getting me on his first. That's all.
Listen, it works. I'm happy that I've got you. I hope that everybody that is in here is going to enjoy us running down AEW's card, Double or Nothing. Chat, you guys are more than welcome to put your thoughts in the comment section. We will get to you when we can. But please, feel free. Come on in. Show us some love. And for right now, I think it's time for us to go to the intro. Let's get it. Everything pro wrestling, they can never be you. Listen to the podcast here for the people. The best show that's here, so listen in. Let the knowledge begin. The opinion and the lesson, yes. Everyday pro wrestling, they can never be you. All right. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that track by Montese, the same person who does Sammy Guevara's theme song. Hopefully you guys are appreciating that and show him some love. Make sure you guys give him a follow if you see him talking at TZ Scott on Twitter. Warren, we've got tons and tons to get into when it comes to this. Mm-hmm. AEW Double or Nothing. This is going to be the first full capacity show going into this. Do you have any thoughts on that going into it? Are you happy to see the people back? Is it too soon? What are you thinking?
I was never one of those who complained, you know. It's like, oh, you know, pro wrestling is hampered because of the smaller, you know, the smaller crowds or the no crowds at all in certain cases. I was never really part of that, but of course, I mean, just like anyone else, I can recognize how quintessential a live crowd is to a wrestling show. And I think we've all become even more aware, if we weren't previously, just how much it's a big deal to have a live crowd there and how much it's part of the story. But I don't know. I feel like eventually they do have to go back to full crowds, but is it too soon? I mean, it's Florida. People are getting vaccinated. I don't know. The last thing that I would want is for AEW to be like ground zero for a new outbreak. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's my concern. At some point, it's like, okay, like, I understand they have to go back to live shows. I understand they need to get some people selling tickets, getting some people in there. You know, AEW doesn't have a $200 million television deal like a certain other company has. You know, this is part of their one of their principal revenue streams that they need, that they've been lacking for the better part of a year. So of course everyone wants to go back for this, right? Which is normal, but I mean, I would have waited a bit more. It seems a little fast, but you know, like I said, hopefully everything happens well. And just hoping that 2 weeks later, a month later, we don't learn that Double or Nothing was the epicenter of a new outbreak, because that would be just awful.
Absolutely terrible. I guess we've got some people in the chat already. Got to give a shout out to Big Paws on the Pup, JPQ, my That's man. Right. JPQ, thank you so much. He did the thumbnails for all of these, whether you see it on the Spotify podcast or the one on YouTube. So JPQ, I owe you. Thank you very much for doing that for me. Out of the kindness of your heart, we'll have to get you back on soon because it's been so long since we've talked wrestling. We also have Connor saying hello to us in the house. What's going on, Connor?
Connor.
Ace also saying what's up to us. And we have Brandon, the Oilers' number one fan. I'll let Good it ride. Him. I'm a Sabres fan, so this is hurting, but I've been hurt for years. I'm used to it. What is going on, everybody? We are talking AEW Double or Nothing preview and predictions. We haven't gotten into them just yet because I have one more question that I want to ask Warren about, because he brought up money before. We got to talk about the TBS deal. I know that you've brought it up on your podcast, but quickly, your thoughts on this TBS deal. I know some fans are like, the sky is falling. This is bad news. Let me tell you why it's bad news. I'm sure you'll have the same logical explanation as most, but thoughts on the new TBS deal.
Conrad, anyone who's saying this is a bad deal is outing themselves. It's just outing themselves as someone who wants AEW to fail or is on the other side of the fence and has this strict vision of success that can only be accomplished by, you know, ending up on a major network and scooping in $200 million for over 5 years. You know, like, there is no possible way that you can look at this and say, this is not good for AEW. They've renegotiated their contract twice since they started in 2019, Conrad. This is the second time they renegotiated it. They're getting more money. Yes, the third hour was part of the deal that they renegotiated back in 2020. But TBS, Turner is saying, look, we'd like you to move with your third hour. And we'll give you more money to do it. Thank you for doing that. How is this not a good thing? I don't understand. Like, there is nobody can tell me that this is a bad move. I don't get it. I honestly, frankly don't.
Follow it. They follow it just like that. That's all it was.
But said, I mean,
we have a deal. You want me to move? Pay. Yeah.
And the network didn't say, well, then we're going to put you, we're bouncing you off the network, you know, go call the guys over at the Pursuit Network and see if they have an open slot. You know, they're like, okay, yeah, we'll give you a little more money to move. And that's cool. And they said, yes, you know, and here's the thing is that, and then the thing is that then I hear people saying, well, people are not, how are people going to know that they're on TBS now? Jesus Christ. Not TNT, but TNT and AEW are going to take the time to announce the move, to make it happen. And I don't know if you know this, Conrad, but wrestling fans are creatures of habit. I don't know if you've heard, you know.
The most loyal fan base I think I've ever seen.
So if they move from one network to another network who has just about the same reach, household reach, like we're not talking about a 500,000 household drop. They have practically the same household reach across the United States. There's not going to be that big of a dip in ratings. It's just not going to happen. It's wild to me how anyone can be. And then people saying like, it's like when they started Thunder back in with Rampage, like when they started Thunder. We are 20 years removed, almost 30 years removed from WCW Thunder, from how TV operated. You can't, apples and oranges at this point, man. I'm speechless, lost for words.
This is why Warren is on the show. He lets you know exactly what you need to be thinking and the logical answer for it.
But here's the thing. Like, if you want to think that it's a bad move for AEW, you're more than welcome. I mean, I don't have the truth. No one has. But I mean, at some point, you just have to sit back and be logical and look at everything that's happening. Well, but you're entitled to your opinion. That's absolutely fine. Just, we know why you're thinking that, because I don't think anyone, even objectively, even if you're a diehard WWE guy or a diehard Impact guy, whatever, you cannot objectively look at this deal and say, well, AEW sure
fucked up this time.
No, it's impossible to say that.
I was going to tell you before, if you're wondering why I'm laughing, I was going to say corpsing. Because of JPQ's little chingy line in here that he had wrote, that he's one call away. Absolutely love it. And I have to also give a shout out to my wife. It's our anniversary, and she's letting me do this. So thank you very much.
Oh, my God.
Not your fault. My fault. 100%.
She's an angel. Are you kidding me?
Some would say a saint. Azan, thank you for joining us. This is Mr. Warren Hayes, if you don't know. Show him some love, too, guys, in the chat. Ace is ready to talk about Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky, calling out Sting and Darby Allin. We are going to get to that, my friend, right now. We've talked long enough about some other things. We're going to get into the meat and potatoes of the situation. And I think the first match I kind of want to talk about is the one I think is going to open up the show.
Okay.
I know you have to spread out the title matches, but I think we got to talk a little bit here about Adam Hangman Page versus Brian Cage with Taz in his corner. Warren, what do you make so far of the runs for both of these guys right now? Because a lot is going to have to change with Brian Cage. The way I see things right now is Cage was on this path, it looked like, to break up with Team Taz. Mm-hmm. But Ricky Starks is hurt now. We don't have that same story going into it. So what do you do with Brian Cage at this point? And then you have Hangman Adam Page, which I've been preaching for months and months and months, probably since they were the tag champions. This guy is bound to face off with Kenny Omega. The time, it's just when do you do it? When do you do it? And I don't think now is the time. I still think we're a pay-per-view or two away from them pulling the trigger on this happening. But what say you about both of these guys and their future? I think there's a story to be told here.
Objectively, I think this is the match that I'm most looking forward to because I absolutely loved the match they had a couple of weeks ago on Dynamite. Just came out of the blue. Opening match. Opening matches on Dynamite are usually Dynamite. Look at me. But these two together was absolutely fantastic. Like I didn't see it coming, how great it was. So I'm really looking forward to see, okay, now that they're in the big match situation, pay-per-view, I'm really excited to see what they're going to do. I think this is a really tough one to call. And I think it's one of these turnstile moments where you're like, well, this is going to dictate the pace of creative for the next couple of months in regards to both these guys. Because I think it's a really important moment for either or. Because there's very solid arguments to be made. On one hand, you want Brian Cage to come across as a beast. You want him to come across as a killer. And that's what they did with him a couple of weeks ago in the match against Page, where he beat him completely out of nowhere, shocked us all. So I think that's something you want to continue doing because I don't think they've driven that home enough. It's been a while anyway since Cage has felt like a threat. And I think it's good that we go down that path. But I am in complete agreement with you. I think the guy who takes the belt off of Kenny is Hangman Page. I was convinced that the storyline that they were going to tell was Hangman building a win streak, you know, and then challenging Kenny. But Kenny, you know, being a chicken shit heel, starts ducking him. But at some point, he's like, look, my record is 30-0 or whatever, you know. You can't duck me anymore. You know, this has to happen kind of thing. I thought that's what they were building towards this. Apparently not, which is fine, you know. But I really do think Adam Page is the guy. I think he's going to be the guy to take it off of Kenny. He could definitely need the win, get his win back on Brian Cage. But at the same time, I like the idea that they don't 50-50 booking their people, right? I like the fact that if Brian Cage is going to beat him again, let him beat him again. I'm okay with, like, isn't it cool to have, like, a wrestler who has another wrestler's number? It's like, and moving forward, like, Adam Page is like, man, Brian Cage, is, you know, I don't know, he's beat me every time before, you know, kind of thing. That's a cool thing to carry. That's a fun storyline that you can bring around as well.
Obstacles in wrestling. I never thought of it. It would be great because he has to have something to do while he is on this path and when he is trying to do something. You could go so many different ways. Yeah,
you really could.
Azan's bringing up, do you think the Dark Order help Hangman in his matchup? You know what? I think the Dark Order stay out of this. I really don't see a need for it. I don't think anybody's going to really interfere. I think this is going to put over one of these guys strong, and then they'll have a story going forward.
I think I agree. I think they might come out with Paige as a show of support kind of thing. But, you know, ultimately maybe like Evil Uno's going to fend off Hook, you know, who's going to try to come in, you know, take his hoodie off. And Uno's going to be like, no, you're shaming us all. Put that back on.
Get out of here, kid. The ring post with the hoodie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I just don't see it, man. Oh man, you've got me doubting myself. Warren, I'm coming to you first with the pick. I'm taking the benefits of being the host here. Who are you taking to win this one?
Oh, it's a hard one. I think you go with Cage. It's bold booking, but I think it's the kind of thing that AEW can do. I go with Cage.
I definitely think that I'm going to go opposite of you already. First one, we're disagreeing on our first.
My God.
I'm just going to go Hangman Page for this one. I don't know why. I don't know how it works out. I just think maybe they're still going to go with that Team Taz theory. And I like what you were saying, too, about the Kenny Omega and how they could have pushed him. I also like the fact of you left the Elite. We need you back, Hangman. You can win that TNT championship for us. We got the tag belts. We got the world belt. You could win the TNT. And they're trying to force him down that other path. Like, stay away from me. You could do this, though.
I have a whole, like, If you were to give me the book in regards to this, Hangman Page is the guy who takes the title off of Kenny, but he does it in 2022. I think you get, if I were to book this, you'd give Page and Omega, you get Page and Omega at All Out this year, but Page loses and he builds himself back up to get another title shot against Kenny. And this would technically be the third time that he's faced Kenny Omega in AEW in a singles match. And he hasn't beaten them yet. So third time's the charm, you know? And why not? I mean, AEW says they like to do that. They, you know, they said this from the get-go. They wanted to do sports-centric storylines. You can't get more sports-centric than the guy who keeps going for the top guy, can't beat the top guy, goes back to the drawing board, figures out new strategies, then comes back. It's Omega Okada to a certain degree, right? So that's how I do it.
Kristen Ashley is in the chat joining us. I have to say hello as well. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you coming on in here. And Tokyo Rockstar has joined us. He says, what's up? RIP Larry Steve Alexis Pig. Yes, I did see that. That is a heartbreaking Instagram post she had up before. Very, very bad when you lose a pet. So yeah. Thoughts and prayers with Alexa Bliss and family when it comes to that. Let's keep it moving here with some of these matchups. And the next one I want to talk about is a match that I have weird feelings on.
Oh.
Weird feelings. It's Anthony Ogogo with The Factory versus Cody Rhodes with AA Arn Anderson. AA Arn Anderson looks like a guy I just want to hear tell stories and have cookies with. And I want to cheer for Cody in this situation, Warren. But I can't. You know why?
Tell me why.
Cody is pissing me off with this America stuff. I get what he's doing. He's trying to say like, well, you know what? It's not a bad thing if you like America. Rally behind me. He cut that promo about his kids. He tried to get very Dusty-esque. He even said that he was going to be the American dream in this matchup. Well, I don't think it's going to work out that way. Anthony Ogogo is supposed to be the heel, and he is preaching the anti-American things. But some of the stuff, we're like, yo, I agree with you, bro, 100%. Like, we should definitely change that about America. And he's coming off like the baby face in this one. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you feel about this. That's just where I see the storyline right now. They've been doing this for a while. Is Ogogo actually going to wrestle here and show the skills? Too? We really haven't seen him show too much of what he can do. They've just been teasing. He's got the hands. They're weapons. Warren, what are your thoughts on this one going into it?
2021, we're doing an evil foreigner gimmick in professional wrestling. You know, it's been well documented. You know, Cody likes his, he likes his throwback wrestling, but come on, pal. You know, like you got, you're going a little too far here. I completely agree. I think this was a misfire. But here, I also think that part of what's, I think there's an undercurrent of how Cody has been presenting himself for months at this point, which really came to a head at that confusing promo that he cut a couple of weeks ago. Like, you know, it's, to me, it was just scattered all over the place and trying to say so much. And I, like, I think he's insufferable, you know? I don't think it's a good quality to transmit. I think it's like, okay, well, here he comes again, you know, the big entrance. He doesn't come out through the tunnels, you know, he comes straight down the middle, right? He's got the big stuff, and it's always him at the center of the, all these big things. And, you know, regardless of whether the rumors are true or not, as to whether or not he's speaking with the other members of the other EVPs or not, that's nonsense. I'm talking about his, you know, his persona and how he's presented. Feel like, you know, one thing that his dad had in truckloads and bucket loads was humility, right? That, you know, despite all the bombast and, you know, the charisma, there was always something very humble as when Dusty would take the mic. I don't think Cody has that. I think Cody doesn't present himself like that either. He doesn't present himself like his dad. He always has, you know, he's perfectly groomed. He has the suits and everything. It's another persona, and I'm okay with that. But I think it's a little insufferable, and I think that's why it's not connecting. And I think that's why people are connecting with a go-go, because he's like, man, I'm just here to beat people up, you know, and the anti-American thing, sure. But on Twitter, he tweets out a couple of weeks ago, or about a week ago, I don't know, that he called out the people who unfollowed him on Instagram because he posted a picture of him officiating the marriage of his sister and her girlfriend. And he said, look at all the losers. I lost so many followers because of it. How am I supposed to not cheer for the guy? How am I supposed to not be on this guy's side? I don't know, man. I'm completely sold on a go-go. And the thing here is that a go-go has to win, because otherwise the whole Nightmare Factory split story, if Cody goes over here, they're doing it wrong and they're going to Nexus these guys. This is exactly what's going to happen. Because everyone got excited because, like, oh, QT and a bunch of new guys, you know, they're going to elevate the new guys. Well, this is it. This is the litmus test. Is Cody really doing what's best for business and looking towards the future and saying, got to elevate a go-go. We got to elevate Coromoto. We got to elevate Solo as well. For some reason, his name had slipped my mind. But are we going to elevate all these guys, or am I going to go over? And if he goes over, I'll be the first to say it. It's going to feel very Triple H-y if he does it.
I think that there's a lot to be told in this. Also going to give my quick shout outs here to Jocelyn joining us on Twitch. Thank you, Jocelyn. I appreciate you. And we also have Chad in the house. Thank you, Chad, for joining us. Appreciate you guys. When it comes to Cody, I will say this. I do like Cody for the most part. Cody does a lot of things sometimes that just aggravates me, though. Mm-hmm. What they do, and it's moments like this. He felt very politician-ist. Like, and that's probably not even a word, but he felt like he was trying to be a politician, which he says he wants to get into. Not my flavor, not my thing. Don't bring that to wrestling, I feel like. Stay away from it. But they're trying to bring up the whole American Dream, Dusty Rhodes stuff. And like Six said here in the chat, Dusty was the son of a plumber. Cody's the son of a rich wrestling legend. Both great wrestlers, but they're not the same at all. I do think Cody has something really good about him. There is a quality. I really think he wants his wrestling school to do well, that QT helps him run. Sorry, sure. We're talking out of kayfabe now for people who get mad at that stuff. But I really like the fact of what you said, that in this, Cody has to put over a go-go. And I think he should. How come he couldn't get knocked out by a punch? You could, Cody has the out. It was a lucky punch. Ogogo's hands are trained. If he catches you, you're done anyway. I still think they're going to find a way to get the victory here by hook or by crook. My prediction is Anthony Ogogo. I'll throw that one out there right now.
Oh, absolutely same. 100% same. He has to go over it. I'm telling you, if he doesn't go over, Conrad, log off of Twitter.
Boom. And it's baby fever season too in AEW, and I'm gonna bring this up possibly again in another match, but I just don't see Cody winning right now. He could leave at any time, so and I think he'll be back sooner than we expect to. But Cody doesn't need this win. It doesn't hurt him. He hasn't been doing a lot of anything. I think that world championship stipulation is coming back to haunt him, even though he thought it would be like real humility if he just did that. Like, yeah, I'm the booker. I shouldn't really be competing for the world title. That's a bad thing for me to do. Now it's coming back to haunt him with some of the feuds. And it's like, well, what's Cody doing? Oh, he's stuck over here doing this for right now. So this is building up. I don't think this will be the end of the storyline. Ogogo is going to be who I see getting the win. And Connor wanted to let you know that he noticed Warren is repping the Smart to Death merch product placement. Product placement. And Connor, you are 100% correct. And you know what, Connor? When you want to do product placement and you want to do it right, you got to talk about Manscaped. So I'm going to fit this in right here. You gave me the bright idea to fit this in, so it's happening. If you guys want to have, they have a new lawnmower 4.0 out. I know this is the 3.0 in the ad. I have not updated it yet, but go to manscaped.com. Use our promo code EPWshow. You guys can save 20% and get a nice delivery to your house. Guys, I highly recommend the lawnmower 3.0 or the 4.0, the ball deodorant. It's summertime, fellas. Nobody wants to smell you when you're walking around. It's hot. We're getting back out there. So make sure that you guys have yourselves some ball toner, ball deodorant out there, and make sure you guys get it from manscaped.com. And last but not least, I got to show some love to the independent wrestling fans. Go to powerslam.tv and use the promo code EPWshow once again, and you get one free month of independent wrestling on everything pro wrestling. Thank you for that, Connor. Thank you. And a big shout out to Smart to Death and Shooting the Sports Ish. See, you're getting free plugs everywhere. Anthony, you owe me. You owe me.
Damn right he owes you.
Let's talk the Battle Royal. Let's sure. talk the Casino Battle Royale. I like to say it like that. We've got a lot of guys in this one. And honestly, I don't find any of them really interesting enough to get a shot at the title. That's what's on the line here. And as you guys can see from the graphic, I'm just going to run off some of the names that I see. We see Jungle Boy, Isaiah Cassidy, Matt Sydal, Christian Cage, 10, Matt Hardy, Pentagon, Marquen. We've got Evil Uno, Stu Grayson. It looks like we have Griff Garrison, my favorite, Max Caster, Brian Pillman Jr., Dustin Rhodes, Lee Johnson, Nick Camarado, Anthony Bowens, Colt Cabana. The names can go on and on. I think Will Hobbs is in this as well. We've got many choices, many options when it comes to this Battle Royal. Warren, I'm just going to go into it. I think my prediction to win this is Christian. I think it's going to be harder to guess who's the wild card, I think, over who wins this. I feel like Christian and Kenny had that, like, face-off, and it's, well, when are you going to call your shot if you get a chance at the title? That's why I'm predicting Christian. But thoughts on the competitors, anything that you want to say about this matchup?
I think it's an interesting I think there's two choices, really, in this one. It's either Christian or Jungle Boy, in my opinion. Is it for – this is the detail that I'm missing. Is it for the world championship, or can they challenge for the TNT title? Or
the way I understood it was for the AEW world championship, okay. And you pick when you want the title shot.
Okay, so that's good. So you know, Kenny needs some wins still leading into All Out, right? And I really think that I think that either Christian or Jungle Boy would be great super show, you know, weekly Wednesday night super show dynamite fodder. It'd be fantastic, you know, it'd be a very, very natural buildup. probably the Christian Cage one would come up a little, would probably be a little more convincing in the eyes of fans, because he came in saying, I'm not just here to wrestle, I'm here to win titles, right? And I think, again, you'd be, I think you have to be of bad faith to not say that Christian Cage hasn't been fantastic so far, and has actually surprised a lot of people who thought he was a lot less good wrestler. That's not great grammar, but you know, I think a lot of people weren't expecting him to be as still as good and as polished and as competitive as he is. And I kind of want to tell them you should have watched him when he was in TNA, because you know he's always been great. He's always been a better worker than Edge, if you ask me. Controversial hot take right there, but I really do believe that.
Second.
nothing against Edge. You know, it's just like if you're talking about, yeah, but Edge is the bigger star. Sure, I'll give you that. But Christian's still the better worker, you know? I think that's how you go. It's either Christian or Jungle Boy. I don't see anyone else cracking this ceiling here.
So if you had to give an official pick between those two, then your guy. I'm taking Christian.
Yeah, I'll go with Christian too. If you're making me pick.
Okay.
Because right. I love Jungle Boy. God damn, I love Jungle Boy. I think the guy's phenomenal.
I'm trying to think. I feel like the last four will be like Pentagon, Jungle Boy, Christian, and maybe like a Will Hobbs. Or maybe you go with someone who's not supposed to be in there.
Yeah, the
wild card. Is it called the wild card or the Joker in this company?
The Joker, right. You're right, right, right. Yeah.
Who do you think comes out as? Listen, I'm going to say this, and this is a quote to one of my past guests. It better not be Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer is the worst every time. When you don't know, if you got to be on a show, you just pick Tommy Dreamer. Like, you know what? Tommy Dreamer showing up with the trash can. He's just going to do his thing.
The cool thing is that there are so many possibilities now that, you know, forbidden doors and whatnot, you know, there's so much stuff possible. You know, I've seen deep dank rumor saying, you know, Will Ospreay, his neck isn't really injured and he's not really in the UK. He's in North America because he came for the AEW show, Will Ospreay to AEW. But I don't think that's, you know. And I saw it in your chat, and I think I think that's the way you want to go. I think Nick Gage, MDK, I think it's a smart choice, because if anything, Nick Khan has his ear to the pulse of wrestling fans. Gage's, he's never been bigger right now because of the documentary. You know, people even. More cat, but people who never watched GCW now know who Nick Gage is because we've just talked about him too much. It would be a big deal if he were there. Doesn't mean that he signed, but he could come in and just, you know, wreck a couple of guys. I think that would be possible. I don't think it's going to be Bryan Danielson. I really don't, because I'm convinced he's re-signing with it could be Andrade. The thing is that you know, a lot of wild cards in the past were just popped up for one show. You know, Mercedes Martinez, Jeff Cobb, you know, just popped in for one show and they were gone, you know? So it could be someone from New Japan.
It could be Impact too. I just did Moose. It could be Moose showing up to say, hey, Kenny, I'm coming to take that belt too. Mm-hmm. You have endless amounts of options. And this is the best part, what I like about the forbidden door relationships, because you can just have somebody show up. And this is why I don't want that invasion storyline. Some people talk about how come AEW hasn't invaded Impact or vice versa. We don't need it. You don't need this to do that. No. You can slow burn this with matchups, just slowly, like, you know what? Let's do a matchup real quick. Mm-hmm. Let's put this together real quick. That's a surprise. Ace just brought up Ace Austin. It could be him too. I think that kid is a future world champion in the making. Easily.
Filthy Tom Lawler. He's, you know, currently the strong champion over in New Japan. Why not? Like, there's so many possibilities right now. It's fantastic. That's what's cool, is that even the wackiest scenarios, as long as they don't involve WWE right now, they all seem possible. They really do.
I like it. Cactus has joined us. Thank you, Cactus Jack. Good evening, everyone. I appreciate you, sir. Thank you for coming on in. Let's stick with this card here. Let's get right back into it. We talked about the Battle Royal, Paige Agogo, for those who have missed it. Let's talk about a match that Ace wanted to talk about since he's one of the best mods in the chat. Let's talk Sting and Darby Allin versus Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. And right before we went on air, I saw an interesting story, Warren, with Scorpio Sky. The someone from WWE told me, you better not hurt Sting. And I'm curious to know who that was. Because I thought his son Darby would have said that to him instead. But this match has a ton of potential here. At first, I could have told you probably after Ethan Page debuted and Scorpio Sky turned heel, I was not too keen on them being a tag team. I thought it was a bad, like, it was a weird move. I'm like, I bet you they promised these dudes singles runs. What did they promise them so that they would go along to be a tag team? Apparently, this was it. So I'm like, I should just be quiet sometimes until I know what's actually happening. It's one of those wrestling fan moments where you're like, oh, I should probably just shut up and watch for a second before I speak. I really, really like this matchup here. But it's crazy. This is the first time Sting's been in a ring since, is it, how long ago was it with Seth? 6 years now? Was it 2015? I'm getting old. Holy smokes, I don't even remember. It's been 6 years since Sting has been in a ring. We're talking Sting with the face paint, not Realtor Steve, not Main Event Mafia Sting. We're talking the icon, Sting in the ring. This matchup has lots of potential. How do you feel about Sting and his being a part of AEW? Because I see the money side of it from the video games, the merch, the deals for action figures, whatever you want to look at it as. Sting is a great get. It's going to pay you back no matter what you do. How do you feel, though, about how Sting's being used and Darby, this whole matchup here?
I think Sting has been used perfectly so far. I think they, aside from, like, it become a meme, right, at some point that, you know, he was there every week in an interview, and they'd always highlight it. You know, they'd do their graphics. AEW would, they put them on Twitter. And it's like Sting interview tonight, Sting live in appearance tonight, week after week, and it just Sting. Tony Schiavone talks with Sting. You know, it's like, of course, like every week. It's and it had become a meme at some point. And even myself, I was like, okay, well, yes, he keeps talking doing interviews, but let's do something, right? You can't always just come out with the snow and whatnot, but I think they used him perfectly so far. I thought the cinematic match that he had with Darby at Revolution was fantastic. Was it a it was a Revolution,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
Revolution.
Okay.
My space time continuum is completely screwed up these days. But yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun, and I was surprised at how physical he got, because I was like, well, to me, part of the idea of making this, of doing the cinematic match, was a, you know, little smoke and mirrors for Sting, because, you know, he's 62 years old and, you know, history of injuries and, you know, whatnot. Here he is. He's going into the ring. He's going to have, like you said, his first match in bloody 6 years after he was told that he won't be able to wrestle anymore. And he's been a lot more physical in weekly angles than I ever expected him to be. You know, like throwing fists and kicks and taking a couple of bumps. I was like, wow, okay. You know, clearly, yeah. I equate this to what, you know, if you watch the Undertaker docs, you know, and Taker would always say, you know, you want to leave, but there's something that always drags you back. There's something, you know, you want to leave on your terms. You want to. I'm convinced that this is the same thing about Sting. Sting had, you know, feels like he was mishandled in WWE, and I you'd be hard pressed to find someone who disagrees. And he wants to go out on his terms. He wants to go out in a high note. Why not give him a match in this circumstance here? Tag matches, it's fantastic. I'm not saying that this is going to be his last match, but, you know, he still wants to wrestle. He still wants to contribute. He wants to go out as he feels he deserves to. And I'm okay with this. And I think they've been doing a great job, and I think they're going to do a good job covering up whatever they need to cover up. But maybe we'll all be sitting in our chairs going like, why did we think Sting needed to cover up anything? Look at him go, kind of thing. It could be that too.
It could be. And Cactus is in full agreement with you about Sting's missed potential in WWE. Mm-hmm. As far as this match goes, I know that Ace had brought up in the chat that Sky and Paige are undefeated as a team. Completely understand that. But I think that the real thing for them is they got to be in the ring with Sting. Not mm-hmm. a lot of guys of this generation are going to be able to say that. And I think this is going to be a fun tag match. I think they're going to get their stuff in. But Sting and Darby for the win here. I don't see it going any other way. Darby's one of their biggest stars. He is a future ratings draw. He's going to be in main events within the next couple of years. Mark my words. And he's already doing it now. When he was the TNT champion for some of the highest rated segments on the show.
That's what, yeah, I was going to say. I was going to say, you could argue that he already is a ratings draw. Absolutely. I think the heels pick it up here. Because just for the reasons you mentioned, I think Sting and Darby are bulletproof. I think I think Sting is, as much as he wants to go out on a high note, I think he also wants to, he wants to do what's best for the business, and he wants to put some new guys over. And right now, you know, Scorpio Sky, I'm one of those who feel like he's been set to the wayside because of all the hirings that AEW has been doing. I think he's one of the guys who suffered because he was being positioned as something bigger. I think he has extremely high star potential. I think he has long-term upside, and the guy could do anything, babyface, heel. And I think he works the style that will carry him for years still. And I think Ethan Page kind of needs it, because I don't feel like Ethan Page's AEW run so far, it's in its infancy, but so far hasn't had me salivating going, ooh, he's here. You know, it's been very, very tepid. I think both of these guys need a shot in the arm. And I'm not saying they're going to win clean, but I think they're going to win.
Right, right. I think Ethan Page had such a great thing with the North that people missed it instantly when he was gone. And then the whole way he left, it just felt wrong how everything had happened.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, Josh Alexander, he's looking 1,000 times better right now than Ethan Page since the split. Josh Alexander everyone is just taking notice now. It's ridiculous. He's always been good, but now that he's on his own, he's X Division champ, that amazing match that he had with El Fantasmo two Saturdays ago.
Yes,
that fantastic. Was
great. I'm looking forward to him continuing his run, too. He's been, like you said, one of the better people to watch in-ring on Impact Wrestling.
Oh, for sure.
Since we're going to keep it going here, we talked about Sting, and Sting's kind of been intertwined with someone else that they've moved away from. But we have the new TNT champion, Miro, with that nice, beautiful belt with him. Versus Lance Archer with Jake the Snake Roberts. First question for you, Warren, is do they change the TNT title to the TBS title? Or are you one of those, just call it the television title and be done with it, guys?
Call it the Conan O'Brien title.
Put his face right on there. Right?
Yeah, just put the Team Coco. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Like, this is whatever. It's their, you know, it's their title. It is legitimately the TV title, you know? So, and it's, isn't it weird? You know, because people are, I saw a lot of reactions like, oh, Darby lost the title on TV. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of what the title's for, you know? Whatever they call it, it really doesn't. I don't think they're going to call it the TBS title. I think you continue calling it the TNT title. Frankly, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
I said this too. I'm like, Dynamite and TNT, guys, it still kind of works, even if you go to a different channel.
As long as you keep the lineage, as long as you don't reset anything, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But I think this is an interesting matchup. I feel like it's so soon for Archer. Archer is another one of those guys that we look at as like the talent. And you're just like, why have they been using him the way that they have sometimes? Mm-hmm, it's been very weird. I'll let you take over from here.
No, I completely agree with you. I feel like it's a little precipitous to put Lance Archer. I've been reading my thesaurus. it's a little early to put him in this situation, because I'm in complete agreement with you. He's been very oddly booked. Like he was brought in as a monster, as you know, there's only one guy who can control him, and it's Jake Roberts, right? That was the thing. Remember those vignettes that they were doing backyard wrestling out in the boondocks, and you had Jake Roberts in a rocking chair going, hey, you know, just sitting back and you know, like some, you know, like some hillbilly mafia boss. It was fantastic. Like, I love that stuff. Starts cutting promos. He's a great talent. I've heard things that AEW has something big planned for him. Like, he really has something really cool coming up for him. And I don't think it involves the TNT title. I think Miro's gonna hang on to it. But this is another guy, kind of like Scorpio Sky, who I feel was a little hampered by all the hirings, by all the sudden, Christian is here and Sting. And then you're like, yeah, but what about you hired me too, kind of thing, you know? So I'm glad that he's in this position here because he's going to have a great match. I think, here's another hot take, I think he's an overall better wrestler than Miro is. And I think, but I think both of, Miro's no slouch, but I think Archer is a better worker overall than me. I think he can do more stuff than Miro. I think he has a larger move set. But I think they're going to work very, very well together because I think Miro just wants to lunge into people. I think he wants to hurt people. You know, he wants to live up to a moniker that was given to him, but maybe he never really fulfilled, you know, being a brute, a beast. And Archer will be like, yeah, just lay into me. No big problem.
Right. And I know a lot of people didn't like the Miro in the beginning, and I knew exactly what they were doing when they brought him in, though. This was the, you pushed the WWE guy. They were in a damned if you do, damned if you don't position, and they knew that. So they say, you know what? You're going to be with Kip so you can play video games and people will be attracted to your Twitch, slow build you up a little bit, and then you're just going to beat the hell out of him. And we were all waiting for it.
You're absolutely right.
They knew what they were doing, and now he's starting to get it. When he was on the microphone on Dynamite, that was pure fire. I love it. He said, yeah, everybody dies, but I insist you go first. I said that was a great line. No matter what, I was like, that is the guy that I've been waiting to see come out of all of this. This is going to be an interesting one. I'm with you. I got Miro retaining here. 6XL Hookah God, thank you so much for joining. I see you throwing up the two sweet. I'll throw it up back. Let's see here. I think Jocelyn, this is back on the, he's not a U.S. wrestler. I'm guessing Ethan Page. Maybe this is going back to that. Finding something that'll work with his personality, or maybe this was about.
Maybe this is about a go-go?
Perhaps.
I mean, we're going back far at this point. It could be. She could be just catching up.
Could be. Derek in the house saying, woo. Oh, yeah, woo! When you said thing in the snow, every time Derek and me call it the shaved ice. We're like, oh, it's the shaved ice coming out. Get ready. Classic. Ramble Mania Show has joined us. Thank you. Thank you. PR Nightmare disrespected me as he usually does in the chat saying, what's up, other guy? This is Mr. Warren Hayes, if you don't know. And if you guys do want to check out anything Warren does, it's in the description box below. We've got his Twitter, his Linktree, YouTube. I even have Bell the Bells in there as well. So make sure you guys check all of his content out. Warren delivers, I promise you. So make sure you guys check him out. He's going to do his plugs at the end too. And here comes Derek with It's Dad. Another thing he likes to yell when it's Sting and Darby's time. Yeah. We got people saying they think Archer could win this one. Ramble Mania says, I love Miro. Same. I love both of these guys, and I want to see what's best for both of them. And I hope what Warren said is correct, that there are better things coming for Lance Archer. I just don't think it's tonight.
I don't think it'll be a Double or Nothing either. I think Miro retains. Miro's going to be a great champ. He really is.
Yeah, and speaking of champions, we got to talk about our next match. We are talking about the AEW World Tag Team Champions, the Shoeless Young Bucks right now. They don't have their socks right now. They don't even have their socks. Don't you feel bad for these guys? Look at that. They got all those beads. They may have to sell their headbands for money. This is bad news for them. And we still don't know who actually took the sneakers because I heard Moxley and Kingston aren't even in possession of them anymore. So who knows where these sneakers are at this point?
Eddie knew a guy.
Yeah, Eddie knew a guy from around the corner. They're gone. But Moxley and Kingston, they've been coming out to Wild Thing. There's a lot of possibilities with this. At one point, I believe these two could have taken the tag team titles from the Bucks. I have flipped back and forth on this. This is one of the tougher matches, I think, to call for the night. The AEW tag team division, I have said this and I will stand by this, is the best tag team division in pro wrestling. You can do so much with this, and Kingston and Moxley have shot up there, and I would love to see them get a run with the tag titles. I just don't know what you do with this. Warren, your thoughts?
I hope everyone who keeps telling me that I get checks from Tony Khan because I allegedly never say anything bad about AEW, I hope they listen to what I'm about to say right now.
You too?
Yeah, yeah. No, apparently you're on the payroll too, Conrad?
You only saw the dollar I have right here. I'm not on any payrolls.
TK sent you $1 at some point. It's right there. I'm going to tell you, I want to say too many things at once. I'm going to start slowly. This is the one match that I don't understand and that I don't care about. I really don't. And it has nothing to do with the men involved because I love the Young Bucks. I love John Moxley. I love Eddie Kingston even more. But this situation here, couldn't care less about it. And I don't understand why they're doing it. I can dig that you want to do something with John Moxley. Keep him out of the title picture with Omega. Give him a breather. I'm absolutely cool with that. I'm super cool with John Moxley and Eddie Kingston cutting promos together and doing great stuff together. I think that's awesome. I really do. The problem that I have is this tag team came out of nowhere, and sure, they have the record, whatever, but it's still like it feels shoehorned into everything that was happening regardless. And as you said, the AEW tag team division is absolutely fantastic. And you're putting two singles guys together in a team to go challenge for the titles. And I have trouble getting behind that. There's another promotion who does that on the reg, and I call them out for it. And now they're doing it here. I'm like, why? There are tons of other tag teams that you have that you could have built up to that moment. But I get it. I think it's a star power thing. It's a draw thing. But quite frankly, I have nothing on this match. It doesn't captivate me. Doesn't make me. I don't feel like the Young Bucks are going to lose the title. I don't feel like Moxley and Kingston are a threat, and they might just swerve us because of it. But I'm just not into it. I think it was a poor build. Don't think it was really fun, and it's way too out of nowhere. I don't get it. I really don't.
Right. Jocelyn said, did you catch the animation shoeless at the end of BTE? Yes, I did. Actually, Tiff, who pops in here from All Elite Podcasts, knows the young lady who does the animations for them. And that's absolutely cool that they stuck that in there. It's a little, did you catch it? Rob, Mr. Sneaker Collector here, says, I hope they beat the dog shit out of those Culture Vulture hypebeasts. That's what you call heat, folks. That's heat.
Yep.
I don't know where to go with this one. I think I'm going to just stick with what I've originally said. I'm going to go with Moxley and Kingston for the win on this one. I think they're going to pull a swerve on us to just have us like, oh, you didn't see that coming, did you?
Yeah, so that's my prediction. It's possible, but I'm going to stick with the Bucks for my prediction here.
Okay. We've been opposite on a lot of these. There's going to be a lot of laughing at each other during this predictions. During the show, Randall Wing seems to be in agreement with you. He says, "Yes, sir. FTR, Lucha Bros, Bucks, and etc. You could have booked any of those other teams against them. This is true."
And I mean, they really could have done something with Pride and Powerful at the same time. I know they're involved in something else, you know, but
well, Santana's been out a lot. It's just been weird too.
But I also feel like this is probably going to be the all out match, if you're asking me. If you have a heel Bucks and a babyface Santana and Ortiz, I think it gets really, really interesting. But we'll talk about Santana and Ortiz in a second.
Right. Okay? And me predicting Moxley and Kingston does not mean I think they're the champs for the long term either. Oh,
sure.
No. I think there could be a quick bait switch right back.
But to AEW's credit, though, they don't hot potato their titles. They don't like treat them like props. There is, you know, I think that there's you know, for all three of their titles right now, four titles, excuse me, I think they want to give longer reigns because I think they, or at least Tony Khan, whoever, understands that prestige needs to be built in. You can't just say it's the most prestigious title in wrestling if you don't have the legacy to back it up. So,
and I'm glad you said that, because I think we're going to go to what I believe is one of the most predictable matches on the card. And that's not always a bad thing either.
No.
We have the AEW Women's Champion Hikaru Shida, who is going to be celebrating her year. Is it a year?
Yep.
This Friday they're going to celebrate.
I think so. Yep.
Okay, the year-long title reign will be this Friday on Dynamite, celebrating her title reign that when she won it last year from Nyla Rose, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Shout out to my girl Rebel, not Reba. Excuse me, had me tongue twisted trying to say that already.
Rebel.
We've got a lot happening in this one, but I think there's only one foregone conclusion. It's got to be Britt Baker. Sheena's title run has been respectable, but at the same time underwhelming, if that makes any type of sense to anybody. If you've been watching weekly, I think you know what I'm talking about. Like, she carried through the pandemic. Things got better under her reign. Like, there were times where we were like, dude, if they don't do something like with this women's division, I don't even know what to say to AEW. Like, I'm looking at you like I'm angry right now. Mm-hmm. But then I swear, when the new year began, everything just changed. I felt like now we're seeing solid women's matches. Now we're getting maybe two matches on Dynamite instead of just the one. And it's longer than 5 minutes. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Britt Baker's got to be the winner in this one for me. I have nothing. Warren, please take it away.
Oh, there's no way that Britt Baker cannot move another month forward, not having the title around her strap, around her waist. Listen, here's the thing. Is that she's not lying when she says she is the face of the women's division, right? That's the thing. It's that she is absolutely that. They brought her in. When they brought her in, they wanted her to be that as a baby face. Didn't quite work out, did the heel turn. And it was through the heel turn that she became the face of the women's division. It's just that simple. And she has been nothing but remarkable since the heel turn. Personality has been outstanding. Promo work has been impeccable. And she's improved so much in the ring. I think the heel style suits her more. It makes more sense. I think it's just more natural to her than to rather than having this, you know, the explosive babyface comeback offense. I think it didn't suit her. Everything just fell into place. They have gold with this woman. And I don't think they were expecting that much gold out of her, but she's absolutely fantastic. The Lights Out match confirmed her greatness. You could wait a little longer, but why not put the title on her when her popularity is at its apex? I am excited to see what kind of reception she's going to get with the live crowd. I really am. I don't think she's going to be booed all that much. And I don't think people are going to, I'm not saying that they're going to turn on Shida, but I don't think that they're going to, I don't think they're going to boo Britt Baker out of the building. I really don't.
Right. And I saw Rob say, if Britt loses, the fans will turn her baby face so she better win. I think that is a fact. That you could book that easily if you wanted to do that. But I think she just had her run with the title here. And I think she could go on to help someone like Jade Cargill with whatever the storyline is going to be with her going forward. So I think that's fine. I think you're going to be A-okay with what she is going to do going forward.
That's a super good point.
People up.
That's a super, super good point. Because, you know, Cargill still has to really flex her wrestling muscle for us, in my opinion. Not trying to dunk on her or anything, because you know I don't think she's a bad wrestler at all. I just need to see more out of her from what we've seen right now to really be like, whoa, you know, kind of think she's fine. Don't get me wrong, she's okay. I'm excited to see, like, if you put her with someone like Shida, and I absolutely agree, Shida will be able to help her, guide her through. And you know what? The only way that a wrestler improves is if they wrestle top tier talent, because it's just that simple. If you keep wrestling garbage wrestlers, you're going to garbage wrestle your entire career. So you put Cargill in there with world-class, top-level talent like Hikaru Shida. It's just going to make her grow. It'll be fantastic. I'm excited for it.
I like it. And another thing that intrigues me, too, is we don't have a buy-in match announced yet. And I really feel like Red Velvet is the person who you could give it to. Red Velvet has been very, very impressive. And I don't know. There's just something about her that I like. When she's in the ring, she moves well. She talks well. She just has the look of confidence, too. I just love it. She looks like she's made to do this. So
she's their go-to girl right now when you think about it. You know, when Brandy had to bow out of the mixed tag match, who'd they put into that very high pressure situation where not only she's wrestling with Shaq, you know, well, you know, with in the ring, in the same ring as Shaq, but she has to make sure that Jade Cargill looks good in the meantime. They bring her in. Cargill's first singles match on Dynamite, who'd they bring in? Red Velvet. Who did they bring in last week? Against Serena Deeb, to make Serena Deeb again look like a freaking monster. She's the go-to when you want something to go well in the ring. They tell her, this is what you need to do. She goes out and she overperforms. She does exactly what they need her to do, and she goes above and beyond. She's fantastic. I am a complete Red Velvet mark.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that she gets the buy-in matchup. We'll see what they put together for it. They have a lot of options for what they can do for that. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Sure.
Sheeta's time is up as champion. It's because of how inconsistent her appearance were over the last year. Yeah, there were a lot of times where she was...
It's not all on her. It's definitely not all on her.
Yeah,
the booking was weird.
Yeah. No, Lara, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you coming on in, doing the wave. We are here with Mr. Warren Hayes. We are talking AEW Double or Nothing for 2021, and we're here at the world title match. We have the bastard, excuse my language, Pac versus the world heavyweight champion Kenny Omega. Some would call him a son of a bitch, but Kenny Omega is in here, and we also have Orange Cassidy, or as some people like to call him, Pockets. So this is going to be a great matchup. If you remember seeing any incarnation of Kenny Omega versus Pac, amazing. Orange Cassidy versus Pac, amazing. What's going to happen when all three of these guys are in the ring? And you know another thing I appreciate about this? We don't see triple threat matches often enough in AEW. And it's a beautiful thing, because when it happens, I'm like, oh, this is going to be different. Cool. We get a triple threat match. In other places, sometimes you're like, here it comes, blah, 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 blah. And I really hope when the I don't know what they're called, agents, the backstage guys, when they're setting up this match, I really hope that they don't do the toss out the ring. Okay, now the two guys are going to duke it out.
Yeah.
Get creative with this.
Yeah.
Go ECW. Why can't there be three sleeper holds on, or two sleeper holds locked in at the same time? You could do a lot of different things here. So I want them to have fun with this and just try something different. The build-up to this was kind of weird. I don't know how you feel about this going into it, but thoughts on the build, Warren?
Yeah, no, it was a little strange. I don't know how much this was reshuffled because of Orange Cassidy's injury. Couldn't quite tell you exactly. I think the plan was always to have like a triple threat match. I thought it was a little weird. I thought it was, you know, I thought the Kenny promo at Blood and Guts was odd with Orange Cassidy coming out. I thought the match with, well, I, the Pac and Orange Cassidy match was great until it wasn't, and we understand why, because Orange couldn't continue. That's fine. They did what they had to do. Me personally, I'm not that big a fan of triple threat matches for titles, probably because they have been overdone, probably because I am a little saturated with them. So yeah, you know, if you're going to pull them out, do it sparingly. I think, again, like, apparently the plan was to go with the triple threat all along. I probably would have preferred just a straight up Orange Cassidy Omega match. Would have been fresh, would have been interesting. Just a, you know, a transitional feud for Kenny moving on to, you know, whoever's going to be the big guy, or Adam Page. You know, it's like whoever we move on to. But I mean, this will very likely be very good. I'm I'm just a little damp at it because I'm not a triple threat guy for titles. I'm not.
I think it works when it's placed properly. Like Rob said, ECW had great three-way dances. And there's more that you're not happy about than like that are classics to you.
Sure.
That's how I view them always too with it. In this one, I'm pretty sure we're all going to say the same thing as far as who walks out winning this. I mean, I think it's a foregone conclusion. I got it right there. Kenny Omega seems like the guy. I'm just saying. You can't go that way. But I feel like booking this, you have to have Pac and Orange Cassidy cancel each other because we still have that feud with the Best Friends and Death Triangle. So there's something to be done there. I just don't know how you can build this up properly to
make it. Now Phoenix is injured again.
Right.
Phoenix is injured again. You know, honestly, we should report news when Phoenix is not injured at this point. That's what should be reported.
Right.
You know.
Dude, I hope it's not long term. I heard it was like a short term thing. He's just out for a little bit and he'll be back. They've been just doing some weird booking lately with the whole Death Triangle crew, though. Like, who's in the tag teams? Who's singles? And then, oh, no, now I need you two to be singles and there's no teams. I don't know. All I know is that this is going to be a banger of a match despite knowing the outcome. And I'm looking forward. I'm here for it.
Yeah, It'll be fine. It'll be very entertaining. And I'm just here being sourpuss. Triple threat. Back in my day, the championships were one-on-one, you know, kind of things. Like, nah, I'm just being miserable for the sake of being miserable. The three guys who are in the ring are too talented, way too talented to put on a match that'll suck. There's no conceivable way that's going to happen.
Right. 100% agree with you. I think we know the outcome. We're wrestling fans. We've seen triple threats, and you're kind of just hoping for something different.
Yeah.
Is the main thing that you want to see from this going along with everyone else. And the match that I think that's going to close the show, Warren, the Stadium Stampede. But I think this is going to be different than last year's. Last year's was a lot of comedy, ha-ha, and people coming out of water. I think this one's going to be like a bloodbath. I really do. I think they're going to try something different here. People brawling in stands. I don't know if they're going to do a lot of the comedy funny stuff in this one. I don't know. I just feel like it's going to be completely different.
Oh, they can't.
Looking at this. And another thing that I'm thinking too is you cannot have a dud finish to this. Mm-mm. You've had two dud finishes that people will remember. The Revolution one's never going away. That is a Botchamania special forever. Like, it's just what it is.
This is one of the greatest. Yeah. Yeah.
That one's just going to be bad. There's no kaboom. And right. then you got the last one, the push off of the blood and guts match. Could you have shot that different? Yeah, but it was another like dud finish. Mm-hmm. You need to have one of those Pat Patterson finishes that people are talking about the next day. Like, dude, that was so good. I didn't see that coming. Or that was just a great finish. I loved how they did that and have people talking at the end of this. So, Derek, did you really just say enter Sabu? Put Sabu in here. This will sell it.
I don't think AEW's insured enough to hire Sabu.
We're going to have to see what they do with this. How are you seeing this, the Stadium Stampede? Do you think it main events the show, or am I crazy for thinking?
No, I think you're right. I think it does top the show. And I'm in 100% agree. Like, they can't do comedy stuff. Not after Blood and Guts. They just can't. If they're selling this feud as a serious thing, and you know, the Inner Circle has dropped the hokey, you know, tongue in cheek, hey guys, we're doing silly shit kind of thing. They've stopped that. It's all business. So they can't. It'd be such a weird tonal shift if they did decide to do that, and it just wouldn't connect. I don't know what to add more than what you did. It has to be brutal. It has to be wild and all over the arena. You have to have multiple cameras at multiple places. Nobody coming in on golf carts or horses or, like you said, popping out of water transformed. None of that. It has to be just, they're just wailing into each other, using everything. And if they go into the concessions and they start beating themselves over the head with, you know, spatulas or whatever, that's fine. but like the real comedy jokiness, you know, Hangman and Kenny Omega sharing a whiskey and a glass of milk after beating up a dude. You can't do that. You just can't. It has to be on a completely other tone. It has to be violent. Has to be harsh. That's how they've been building it. Because my God, the Pinnacle, man, I've been in love with this since it started. I love the. I don't think there's been a better debut of a faction in recent memory than these guys. I got chills, man. I loved it so hard. It was amazing.
I love how everybody just fits in. And I love that Wardlow spoke once, everybody talked about it, and now you don't hear him speak again. Because you're going to have to wait for him to get the microphone. And I think the next time he does, people will be hyped up to hear him speak because it's going to be in front of a live crowd. Very, very well done. We forgot the stipulation for this match. The most important part, if the Inner Circle loses, they're done. They're history. Finito, kaput. They're gone. Adios. Yep. See you later. Yep. I couldn't think of any more puns, but they will be done. And Is that the right move? I've heard a lot of fans calling for, we need to end the Inner Circle, because I think Proud and Powerful can do more by themselves. They can do something alone. Sammy's destined for something great. I feel like this is holding them back. Mm-hmm. But then I see someone like Jake Hager, and I'm like, he kind of needs the Inner Circle. Yeah, it works for him and his team, but maybe you can just put him with Jericho. How do you feel about that?
You know, dude, let the Jake Hager. He can do it. It's fine. Whatever. You know, he's like the child of the divorce. You know, he's like, you get him. You want him on weekends? Yeah, you can have him on weekends. Are you sure? Because, yeah, you can have him on weekends.
The redheaded stepchild.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Look, Pinnacle can't lose. Pinnacle can't lose. And if they go 50-50 on this, I'm going to be extremely disappointed. But they legitimately have on their hands right now an aggressive, dominating stable of guys with MJF, FTR, Sean Spears, and Wardlow. I think they really have a perfect combination of guys who are just all business, who feel old school. Sean Spears is getting there, but the others, you know, it's like they feel like wrestlers, you know. And everything has been all business with them since the start. I think the biggest thing they could do right now is just knock off the Inner Circle. Because, yes, I think Santana and Ortiz need to break away from it and become more of the LAX guys than whatever they were in Inner Circle, right? Because they can work. It's not that they can't. They can be violent. Not that they can't. Just I think the Inner Circle has been I think it was entertaining when it happened. I think they were a big part in AEW being fun to watch on a weekly basis during COVID. I really do. But I think it's okay to retire something and maybe bring it back down the road. Because I also, here's another thing. I don't think a babyface Sammy Guevara is the way to go. I think Sammy Guevara he's made to be a heel. He's made to be a son of a bitch. I'm tolerating him right now because I understand what they need to do. But people say, keep Jericho and Sammy together. As long as Sammy turns on Jericho, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Interesting thoughts here from you. I guess if it's prediction time, Rob brought up an interesting point too. Let me bring this back up. Is Chris Jericho going to be able to go, and does Mike Tyson provide an assist? I mean, if since Tony Khan's throwing around the money, if we can hear Phil Collins in the air of the night and then Tyson just comes in with the one hitter quitter on somebody, I'm not going to be mad at it at all. But Ace has an interesting question. I think this is in response to what you just said. Where does Jericho go after Double or Nothing then?
Oh, I think he can take a break. I don't say that disparagingly. I think it's a good moment for him to take some time off. I think it's something that we don't do enough. We don't see enough in wrestling, but I think it's so effective. Taking a guy off of TV or a girl off of TV for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, give them some time off, let the body heal, then come back. Distance made
the heart grow fonder.
There you go. You took the words right out of my mouth. And I think that's crucial. Let Jericho go away for a couple of months, and he comes back out of nowhere. People just start, they go nuts. Jericho's back. it's that kind of shit is priceless. And frankly, it's something that should be done more, because wrestlers really should have moments to rest their bodies, just get back on top of things. One of the reasons why WWE wrestlers, have you ever noticed when they were touring, especially WWE wrestlers, all their injuries, their nagging injuries were shoulders and elbows. And, you know, it's never like the neck, you know, or, you know, they broke their ankle. No, it's because they're wrestling 4 or 5 nights a week, and they're lifting dudes and other ladies, and, you know, they're always doing the same motions, lifting and power lifting, because they never get any time off. New Japan, they'll take breaks between tours so that guys can go rehabilitate, take some time off, just make sure everything stays well aligned, and then come back for more. And I'm okay with Jericho doing that. It's not as if he's been wrestling every week either. That's not the point. But, you know, I think he can take some time off, and it'll be good for the Chris Jericho character. Plus, haven't I heard that he's going on tour with Fozzy?
I keep hearing that too, but it seems like when you think he's gone, like after he fell off of the cage, right. I thought he was gone for a little bit. Nope, a week later, he's showing back up, very poorly hidden, by the way, in that car.
Kind of like this, right? Yeah. You can't see me now, Conrad. I'm super hidden right now.
What have I become? Yeah, sing my song. Sing it. Kristen is in full agreement that Jericho should take some time off, for sure, she says. And not wrong. Not wrong at all when it comes to that. I think, though, I still feel like this feud is not over yet. I'm taking the Inner Circle to get the victory here. I don't know what the end game is. I feel like Jericho has some plan in place, because he seemed real giddy when he was talking about the Blood and Guts match on all the radio shows, all the podcasts that week. He was like, oh, this is just the beginning. So here, maybe this is where the Inner Circle can stay together, but what's the big blow off then? And I don't know what it is, but I do think we're leading to one more match with these guys. Maybe really? All out. Yeah, I don't know when they do it, but it's going to be quite interesting. So you're still sticking with the Pinnacle?
Absolutely. And I think this shutters the feud. I think we're good. Pinnacle are winners. MJF, the gang, period. Absolutely.
Okay. Interesting. And that is going to be the Double or Nothing card. We ran through it, gave our predictions. Some of you in the chat put yours out there. And for that, I am forever grateful. But don't forget, when Double or Nothing is over, you guys are going to want to come right back here onto YouTube. We are doing a review show for AEW Double or Nothing. You're getting a little preview of the thumbnail right there that's going to be happening. Shout out to Derek for telling me to pick that purple. I think it looks pretty rad, and I like it. So make sure you guys are back here checking in with us. We're going to do a review of the show, talk about everything that went down just before, and hopefully we can figure out what's happening going forward as we then begin the road towards All Out. And last but not least, I got to thank my guest. Warren, like I said, we've been probably doing this for almost the same amount of time podcasting, and Warren is someone who I respect tremendously. It took a long time to get him on here, and hopefully we can do this again. No matter who show, it doesn't matter. But I do appreciate you coming on, Warren. Warren, please plug your stuff. Tell the people what you've got coming up. I know you got a lot of good things coming up.
Oh, it's always stuff. There's always stuff. Well, look, every Thursday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern, over on youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes, I record my podcast live for everyone to join in, and we have a great live crowd that happens there every Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern. So, hey, come on in a couple of days. That'll be some cool stuff. I will also have a prediction show this weekend on Saturday. So if you want to hear me reiterate everything I just talked about, you can come on over this Saturday for my own prediction show. Subscribe to Mr. Warren Hayes, to the Mr. Warren Hayes Show channel on YouTube. YouTube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. I would really appreciate it. You guys in the chat were all fantastic. You're the kind of people I want over on my side of things too. You guys are wonderful. You're smart, funny. That's just like Conrad. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I want. And head on over to Bell to Bells as well. That's your women's wrestling wire. If you'd like some thoughts, some coverage on women's wrestling, that's BELTOBELLES.com. So head on over there. Follow us on Twitter at Bell to Bells, or you can follow me on Twitter as well at Mr. Warren Hayes.
Rob definitely put Warren MF, and we'll just say for those younger listeners, Hayes, I like it. Make sure you guys support all of his stuff. Is in the description box, and I'm going to talk for a second so that way you guys can get a chance to go on over, click. I won't be mad if the numbers go down. You stayed long enough. You guys can go over, subscribe, do what you need to do to make sure you're checking out all of Warren's content. And Warren, we did have one question before that is totally unrelated to this that I wanted to squeeze in for you. Sure. What was it about? I think it had to do with the rumor of Will Ospreay and the NXT UK stuff that we saw today. Your thoughts, sir? Your thoughts?
It's garbage. I don't believe it either. No, because the rumor, the story going around is that Will's injury is not as severe as it's being led on. Okay. And there's a lot, trust me, there's a lot of conflicting stories about this. Okay. But Will, because there's a whole bunch of things happening, a whole bunch of stuff happening in New Japan, a lot of miscommunication with the Gaijin wrestlers. There's really layers to this, but the idea here is that Will Ospreay, what basically all the Gaijin wrestlers were told, you can go home. This is the rumor. He said, you can go, everyone can go home. But then all of it, because they canceled the Tokyo Dome shows and everything, but then they book a new series of shows. So then they tell the Gaijin, you can't go anymore. A lot of Gaijin are like, well, hang on. We can't just volley back and forth. You know, if we go, some of us are already home and we're doing quarantine, you know, so on and so forth. So a lot of them are pissed off. And apparently, well, the conspiracy theory is that Will Ospreay was like, screw it, I'm going home anyway, going back to the UK. And the cover story is that he has a neck injury that is preventing him from wrestling. But, and because of that, New Japan is stripping him from the title. But the rumor is that his neck injury isn't as bad as it's said, kind of like Kazuchika Okada working with a bad back. He's working with a bad neck, but not the kind of neck injury that would keep you out of the ring kind of thing. But Ospreay today put out a picture of an x-ray of his neck, and it's not looking good. You know, I've heard things that we're wondering if it's career threatening, you know? So there's a lot of stuff going on, but I can promise one thing from my gut instinct. And this is just instinct. Just pure instinct. If WWE sign Will Ospreay, they are not putting him on the UK brand. That is their under brand. And shame, because it is a quality wrestling show. Okay? I'm not saying this because the talent sucks, because they have Walter putting out matches of the year for the company in that brand. For two consecutive years, he's had the best match that WWE's produced. He's done it himself. They have a fantastic women's division. It's nothing because of that. You get Will Ospreay? Are you kidding me? You don't. They put him bare minimum in NXT because that guy is ready for prime time. He's ready for Fox. You know what I'm saying? But he's not going. He's not. He's still under contract with New Japan.
Right, I'm with you on that. I don't see that happening. Well, it's such a shame, too, because we all heard the rumors of the CM Punk match. That's got to be crushing for him, that he could have possibly had a match with Punk. Now he's hurt. Then he was the new champion. There was a lot of faith in him. That's the one thing that he always talked about, even as a junior heavyweight champion, that he always wanted to reach that level.
And just on the idea that he was set to have a banner year, the best, the greatest year of his career this year. You kidding? He has had nothing but great matches this year with Satoshi Kojima in January. He was having bangers with him, and then he wins the title. He has one of the greatest matches I have ever seen against Shingo Tagaki a couple of weeks ago. I mean, he was on the way of having a legitimate to be in a legitimate conversation for Wrestler of the Year, and this is derailing it. It really sucks for him. It sucks. I think it's awful. But there's so many layers to this New Japan stuff right now that it's hard to touch and it's hard to wrap your mind around it. But I don't think he's faking an injury. I think he's smarter than that. I don't think he's faking an injury unless he's really pissed off with New Japan management, which we don't know, quite frankly. We don't know. But he's not going to NXT UK. No.
I think a lot of this is the Bea Priestley rumors, too, because she's supposedly going there. And maybe they just want to believe, like, oh, they're a couple. They'll have to go together. And sometimes people think that you don't have to work in the same place.
Isn't that the most annoying one? That's the most annoying thing. Oh, he's going there. His girlfriend is there. Come on.
There's money to be made out here. And Rob throws in what will probably be the last little bit of a question concerning this. You think they throw the bank at Ospreay to get Punk back in? I don't think WWE cares enough about CM Punk. I think, like most of us, I'm over it. Punk's one of my favorite wrestlers, and you guys know that. But I'm over the whole, when CM Punk comes back, I will jump out of my seat and I will be happy. Until it happens, I'm done with the rumors. And I'm done with the speculation.
And WWE exists inside its own bubble, right? So it does, even if it would be a dream match, CM Punk and Will Ospreay, it's not a WWE match. It's Vince is no longer a promoter. If we were talking to 1987 Vince McMahon, maybe he'd be like, yeah, let's pull some strings together, pal. Let's call this Ospreay kid and PN Punk and let's make this happen inside a WWF ring and we'll sod the garden kind of thing. But now he doesn't care about that. He cares about his stars, his own bubble. It's not a match made in WWE. So he's not going to touch it. He doesn't give a shit. He really doesn't.
With you on that, Warren. And once again, thank you for coming on and being a guest. Reminder to anybody who is listening to this after the fact, AEW Double or Nothing Review, Sunday, May 30th, after the pay-per-view ends. You are going to want to be here. Keep us on lock. Make sure you check out my good friend, Mr. Warren Hayes, and all of the stuff in the link description. No matter where you're listening, all the links will be in there. Make sure you show him some love. I would definitely, definitely appreciate that. And for everything else and everything pro wrestling and Mr. Warren Hayes, we are out. Enjoy your evening, everyone, and we'll see you Sunday. Peace. Everyday pro wrestling, they can never be you. Listen to the podcast for the people. The best show that's here, so listen in. Let the knowledge begin. The opinions, the lesson, yes. By the fans, for the fans. Not many in this can understand. This the podcast to show you who I am. Conrad Cushman, the legend in the plans. Please listen every day to the showcase. The opinions and knowledge that anyone can take. Showing you how it is done. Proving I am number one. What a legend becomes. This is now my time to show you that I am here. This podcast just to make it loud and clear. By the fans. For the fans. Not many who's here can understand. Everything pro wrestling, they can never be you. Listen to the podcast here for the people. The best show that's here, so listen in. Let the knowledge begin. The opinion and the lesson, yes. Everyday pro wrestling, they can never be you. Listen to the podcast for the people. The best show that's here, so listen in. Let the knowledge begin. The opinions, the lesson, yes.